Thanks, Jamie. Good morning. I wanted to share with you a brief encounter I had with a fellow and some thoughts that I had after when I was thinking about it. I was at the shopping center walking down the mall, and there was a kiosk in the center of the mall there, and as I walked by it, there was some seating there for customers. It was one of those sandwich little places in the mall. And there was a place for people to sit and tables and chairs. And I noticed a guy sitting there as I was walking by. And I noticed this guy for a millisecond. He was sitting at the table by himself. And he had his arm on the table beside him. And he had his head down like this. And that's really all I saw. And I kept walking, and I got about five paces away, and God told me I needed to go back and see this guy. And I don't know if it's how it is for you, but God speaks to me in different ways, and one of the ways he speaks to me is he flashes a thought through my head, and it's so fast, it's just there and gone. It's instantaneous almost. And it's that moment, if I'm paying attention, I can choose to obey it and do whatever, or ignore it. And if I ignore it, it's instantly gone. And I you know, it's no longer there. But I know it's from God, because a couple days later, it'll come back to me. And I'll remember that thought had come to my mind. And you know, obviously, I had not chosen to deal with it. Maybe because, you know, it didn't even hit my conscious mind to think it was coming from God. It came and went so fast. Anyway, so I turned around and I walked back towards this guy. And in the space of those steps approaching him, I could see he was pretty thin, and his shirt was actually a hospital gown, and he hadn't shaved for several days, and his hair kind of looked like mine does in the morning sometime. And so when I got to him, I kind of leaned into him a little bit, and I said, "Are you okay?" And he sat up bolt right, and before he even saw who he was talking to, he said, "I'm okay." And so I said, "Well, can I pray with you?" And he paused a second, and he kind of stared at me like he was trying to analyze what I was saying, trying to process it. Either that, or he was wondering if maybe I was somebody he knew. And anyway, he then said, "I don't need no prayer." And so I wished him well, and I turned and walked away. I thought about it afterwards, and I wondered, did I deal with that the right way? You know how it's like a movie. You replay it in your head again and question yourself. And yeah, I had I taken a moment to think it over, I probably would have dealt with it differently. But in this instance, I did not stop to think. I just reacted, and I just went to him. Let me catch up to myself. I guess, you know, I may never see this guy again, and I don't know what God has planned for this man. But I knew that whatever it was, I had played my part. And it wasn't until later, when I was analyzing it and playing it again and again and thinking about it, and I realized that as I walked away, I didn't have any remorse. I didn't feel rejected by this guy. I had no negative feelings about how it went, despite the fact that It was very brief, and he as much as told me to bugger off and mind my own business. I was okay with that. It didn't matter. And I realized that God sends us these messages and asks us to do things, and that's the more important thing in all this. It's not the results of what's done. It's being obedient. And I realized that I probably get these thoughts going through my head all the time. But I'm only aware of the odd one. I'm sure I'm missing lots. Anyway, I've resolved from this little experience to try to be a little more sensitive about hearing God when he's speaking to me and try to react more often. Anyway, thanks for hearing me.
Before we have our next person share, we've got a couple of announcements this morning. The first is...
Good morning, everyone. I was thinking all night, should I just freely speak or should I just read my testimony? And I think at this point, I'm just going to read it so that I won't go from A to B, or actually from A to D, from B to Z, and vice versa. So this is a testimony truly about God's deliverance. He has set me free from a lifelong anxiety and depression, and this is my story. I grew up in a good family. My father was a God-fearing man, and attending church on Sunday was something we looked forward to. My mother came from a strong Christian family as well, so to follow Christ's teaching and to live a godly life has been engraved in me since childhood. But little did I know that just knowing Jesus and actually walking with Jesus are very different from each other, and only the latter will lead us to salvation. As a child, I believed there was a Father of all creation, existing as a Holy Trinity. I knew that Jesus died for us to deliver us from sin, and God the Heavenly Father being just, and that Jesus would come back to judge us. I tried to do good and to earn my way into heaven. I was aware that our Heavenly Father is watching over people and determining the course of human life. Prayer, when in distress, became a tool for me to ask God for help during early childhood difficulties. And when I received a solution, I truly believed it was His answer. I even remember a personal encounter that I had with Jesus as a child in church, but that's a different story. However, even as a young adult, I felt something was missing. The people around me seemed distant. Trying to be a good child, I focused on performance, doing the right thing, saying the right thing, acting the right way. Maybe I was thinking, if I am liked by man, then I will be liked by God. This feeling of emptiness intensified when my older brother, who was 12 at the time, died in a bicycle accident. I was only 9 at the time. My parents' sadness, and especially my mother's pain, caused her to withdraw from God. She never got over the feeling of being punished. She blamed God for the death of her child. So she became more and more hostile towards family and people in general, and developed severe anxiety and mistrust in people. I tried very hard not to let it influence me. So talking to Jesus and wanting his presence, but also his approval, became the focus in my life. However, without being born again, it was just a distant longing. I just realized now that without the Spirit, without Jesus giving us a new heart, it is almost impossible to get away from the enemy's hands. At the age of 20, I married, and soon after we started our family. And naturally, I devoted my life to be a good mother and wife. 4 years later, my husband decided to move us from Germany to Canada. We adapted well in our new country, and had everything a young family needs. Yet something was still missing. This feeling of emptiness, it just would not leave me. I tried to fill it by loving my husband and children and pleasing people. After a while, the efforts of trying to please everybody led to more anxiety. The anxiety of not measuring up created a greater need to do well in every aspect of my life. Thinking I am a God-fearing person, trying to do my best, I did not realize that deep inside me was a conviction which did not come from God. I did not realize how this need to please would lead me down a path further away from God. The more I tried to please and do my best, the lonelier I felt. In the year 2000, my father passed away. Again, my anxiety and feeling of loneliness grew. My father was my rock, and he was no longer here. He was a wise, very hardworking, and well-respected man. And also, it was around this time that my marriage started to crumble. I thought, what else can happen? 10 years later, my mother committed suicide. Another reason for me to think that I am not helping my family the way I thought I should. And riddled with anxiety, low self-esteem, and mild depression, I was overcome by loneliness. Feeling trapped in a giant bubble. Life just happened outside of it. Observing everything, but not being able to participate. That was my state. That's where I was at that point. It was at this time when my marriage ended. But being the codependent person that I had become, I started a new relationship right after. And of course, it is never good to enter a relationship when we are not well ourselves. The enemy was constantly whispering self-doubt, helplessness, and unworthiness into my ears. And I started to ask, God, where are you? I don't understand. I'm a good person, am I not? Why do I feel so lonely? But my anxiety became very strong. I withdrew more, became critical, and was very codependent. Not at all the kind of person God wanted me to be. My family withdrew and criticized me as well. Knowing that something is not right, I started reading books, went to counseling, sought medical help. Yet the anxiety did not leave me. I was emotionally drained, cried regularly, and felt very helpless. It seemed as though my tears filled an entire ocean. At my lowest point, falling on my knees, I asked God. I asked Him to free me, to forgive me, and to deliver me. To show me what am I doing wrong, please convict me of my sins. I want to know, because I want to be free. The prayers became a plea. And even though death was more appealing than this crippling pain resulting from feelings of loneliness and anxiety, I actually prayed to God. I asked Him, please take me home. I don't want to be in this world any longer. But not too long after falling on my knees and asking God to help, a girlfriend from years back called me and asked me to meet. She wanted to catch up on our past and reconnect. And as we sit and talk, an overwhelming feeling to share my pain and my anxiety arose. And then we prayed together, and soon after, her friend also prayed with me. God had opened a door which would soon lead to my salvation. His calling became stronger. He gave me strength to stay close with my newfound friends. I could feel how God was working in my life. And shortly after, I was asked to join a Bible study in various worship evenings. And it felt so good to be with strong believers once again. The anxiety was still present, but not as bad as it used to be. My heart opened up more. And for the first time, after a very, very long time, I enjoyed the company of people. God is very gentle in His works. So the newfound friends showered me with love and kept on praying. We watched as God continuously helped me to walk me out of the darkness into light. He truly answered prayers in regards to my family, our relationship, and my own strength. I felt this renewal of my faith. And during this time, God showed me that He did not approve of the relationship outside marriage. And I knew I had to sacrifice this love for Him. I knew this is what He wanted me to repent of. We had tried to break up in previous years, but my anxiety was so severe that it was impossible to do so. The fear of being alone was too much to bear. A few months later, now I was already kind of in my heart, preparing and asking God to deliver me. And I said to Him, whatever it takes, I keep my promise if you keep your promise, because I knew the truth is the truth. And God promised us He will deliver us. So a few months later, one of my dear friends asked me if I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. She called me on Monday, and Thursday would be my birthday. Without hesitation, I agreed. I thought to be baptized on Thursday, to be baptized on my birthday, would be a precious gift from God. He should be the one to give new birth to me. So on the 5th, we got together for the baptism. Surrounded by friends and family members, this was truly a very exciting event. The words, down with Jesus and up with Jesus, came alive for me. As my head entered the water, I felt as though I was sinking to the bottom of the ocean. It just went down, 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 down. And it felt like an eternity. Then as my head came out of the water, it felt like a new birth. He truly had washed away a lifetime of pain. He truly washed away my anxiety and left it all behind, and He truly gave me a new heart. It was an experience which words actually cannot describe. God's love showered me, and He was saying, welcome back, my dear child. What took you so long? Everything I knew and learned through Scripture became an experience. Before the baptism, the truth, the gospel, God's love, His grace, His Son Jesus dying for us, it was knowledge. But right after baptism, all of it became life, and it became like the living water that Jesus is talking about. And the Holy Spirit is now residing within. Jesus is part of me. Best of all, my anxiety, actually that's not best of all, that the Holy Spirit is with me is best of all. But yes, God kept His promise. My anxiety was gone. He filled me with a new strength immediately. So the very next day, I told my partner that we cannot live together any longer, since it is not approved by God to be in this kind of relationship. He recognized that something was different. He saw a strength in me which he did not know before. And he said, you are not the same woman from yesterday. This is a different woman standing in front of me. My life is changing for the better in all kinds of ways. God's grace is continuously working in my life now. Family and friends are witnessing an outpour of God's love and blessing, and I can't help but share this salvation. I went from crying every week, and I'm not kidding, every week, to no tears since this day. I am no longer a slave to anxiety, but filled with God's grace. I see everything with new eyes, embrace life in a new way. My hunger to know Him more, to be in His Word more, and the desire to stay in the truth is steadily growing. My commitment to Jesus and our Heavenly Father is to stay strong, stay in the Word, continuously examine my ways, and ask Him for forgiveness when needed. I am still human, but nevertheless, armed with the Holy Spirit and welcomed in His kingdom. The Holy Spirit helps me to stay in the truth, to speak the truth and share the gospel. And looking back on my life now, everything came full circle. God knew what he was doing. God knew what I needed in order to be truly saved. I needed to be on my knees. I needed to repent. I am thankful for having been in the dumps. It enables me to have empathy. Before my salvation, I showed sympathy. But now the Holy Spirit helps me to stay strong. Instead of going down in the dumps with people, I can stay strong, understand their pain, and share with them the message of the hope, the message of the gospel. Thank you, God, for sending your Son, your word in flesh, so that all who were planted on rocky soil are now transplanted to fertile soil through baptism in the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Well, will you stand with us now and we'll sing to this great God.
So when I first asked Pastor Jamie if I could give my testimony, I had no idea what I would say. I just knew that God had been prompting me to share for a long time. I wasn't too concerned about it, though, because I'd been a Christian since I was a child, and I knew that I had many wondrous things I could share about what God has done in my life. I could talk about some of the healings I had witnessed and how I believe that he's in control of my health today. I could share about the times he protected me, and I had so many of those to choose from. I could spend hours talking about my past struggles and how the Lord got me through them. However, none of that was sitting right with my spirit. I knew that drawing from my past wasn't what the Lord wanted me to talk about and how he got me through all of those. So I tried to think about exactly what he had been doing in my life lately. I could talk about the reasons I'm so glad to be part of this community now and thank God for this church family. But I also knew God didn't want me to stand up here and flatter the congregation. I knew deep down the Lord had a special message he wanted me to share when I gave my testimony. I thought about the devotions I had been doing lately and the preparations for next year's Sunday school class that I've been considering, but nothing, not one thing came to mind. There just hadn't been any big revelations for me lately, nothing worth sharing in church. My life is pretty much about going through the motions lately. I get up, I go to work, I go home to my dog, I putter around the house, and I head to bed to do it all over again. My life has just been routine. I was drawing a blank. So I prayed and I asked God, just what did he want me to testify about? It took 3 days before I realized that is what he wanted me to testify about. So often as Christians, we share our problems, our sorrows. We sing somber songs about how he saved us from the depths of despair. We ask for prayer, and we get a great testimony of victory over these problems because of the Lord's intervention. But God isn't just somebody to put out the fires in our lives, someone who steps up to bat when things get tough. Of course, he does that, and we should share those victories. But more often than not, life is simply routine activities. The Lord wants a relationship with us, one that includes everyday routines as well as highs and lows. So today, I want to tell you, I'm praising the Lord for being with me when I opened my eyes this morning and while I brushed my teeth. I'm rejoicing because my heart quickens when the Holy Spirit whispers to my soul that he loves me. I'm praising the Lord for going to work with me every day this week. I am often amazed by the intricacies of the Lord's handiwork, whether it's the magnificent sunrise displayed across the heavens, or the mouth-watering smell of baked bread, or the sweet sound of a child's laugh. In these things, I worship the Lord for revealing himself to me. I am awed when the thunder rattles my home and he reminds me that he is mightier than the most fearsome of storms and that he alone deserves total reverence. And yet he still adores me and loves me with such tenderness. I rejoice in knowing that the obedience to the Lord is not always a grand gesture, but often small prayers for someone, a smile of encouragement, or an invitation to coffee. I am grateful that he forgives me when I'm weak in the flesh and I fail to obey his word, which happens more often than I'd like to admit. So my testimony of what God has done in my life recently is that he has kept me company, amused me, admonished me, strengthened me, and most importantly, loved me through every moment. I praise God that we don't just find him in the highs and lows of life, but in the mediocrity of daily life, because with the Lord in our lives, mediocrity is always filled with tiny ripples that reminds us that our lives are not stagnant pools, but wells of living water. Our Lord will never leave us nor fail to reveal his presence in our lives when we look for him. Hallelujah! Our God reigns every day and in every moment, and that is worth sharing. Thanks for listening.
Art, I'm kind of lost for words. Most people in this congregation know that doesn't happen very often. Thank you for this opportunity. God bless you for sharing your testimony. It was needed so badly. What I'm going to share is something not about myself, but about what you guys did as a congregation. Several years ago, my daughter Darcy and myself was led by the Lord to this church. We didn't know what was coming up in our lives, but he did. And so this church, not the building, but the people, have been here for us, listened to us, talked to us, helped us grow, and prayed. And that's what this morning testimony is about, your prayers. About a month ago, I asked for the congregation to pray for my oldest daughter, Darcy. I just got permission last night from her to tell you why you were praying and the power of God in your prayers. I get angry when people say, well, all I can do is pray. Because you guys did pray, I have something to tell you guys this morning about my daughter. My daughter, 5 years ago, was diagnosed with tumors on her pituitary gland next to her brain. At the time, we thought there was medication to help with the hormones, and it didn't work. So she went along for approximately 3 years. And then she had a stroke. The tumors were growing so fast that they literally cut off the blood to the brain area there. And she was in the hospital, and because of the stroke, the tumors looked like they died. We were happy about this, and I was praying for years. And then the tumors came back with a vengeance, and they started growing aggressively. I have to give you all this bad news so that you'll understand why I'm up here with good news. With the tumors, it took away all of her energy. She couldn't walk more than a couple minutes with her dog, and then she had to stop. She had to rest. She had severe joint pain. And this went on for years. Finally, her endocrinologist, I believe it is, a neurosurgeon, said, you will have to have surgery. So I called out to the congregation, and I asked you to pray. The neurosurgeon had to have her come to Vancouver because it's a very serious operation with serious consequences. Before the operation, he gave her the option whether to have the operation or not. There could have been partial paralysis. She could have been a vegetable, or she could have died. I asked you guys to pray she felt calm and peaceful the day before when she checked into the hospital. The morning of the surgery, a lot of people had to be lifting her up because she would have walked into the surgical room herself. She was so confident, so calm. And the neurosurgeon, being a professional, was not the least bit confident. He did it because it was her only chance. The same neurosurgeon came out after 4 hours in surgery. He didn't know God, but he sure seen the power of God. He comes out after 4 hours, comes out to my son-in-law and my other daughter, and said, "It went very well." And he said, "We have got it all." He said, "It's incredible." And this man couldn't find enough to explain what happened in the operating room. So she was supposed to be, because of the nature of the surgery and stuff, she had to be, you have to be upright. You can't go down because it puts pressure on the forward part of the head. And so she had to be careful what she did and everything. Well, she didn't have it. She was on her phone and she texted me, I don't know how long after, and said, "I'm done." And this lady's ready to leave the hospital. And so she is, I have to tell you, she's a nurse. She's a terrible patient. But she was ready to run out, but she listened to the nurses because she knew what it was like to be a nurse, right? So she goes to, we were very happy and encouraged by this. And we knew that prayer had led this man's hands. He's a professional, but God has to heal. God has to make that difference in these surgeons' hands and other specialists. She went to the endocrinologist, and this is the person who had initially found the tumors. This person could not believe it. The test still had to be done, but the lady said, "You won't see any results or any positive reaction from this surgery for 3 to 4 months, if at all." She ran the test. She checked my daughter, and she'd already, after weeks, showed positive change immediately. Her blood pressure was back to normal. Her joint pain was diminishing by the hour. Her energy levels were going up by the hour. But she got a little restless. And because she was feeling so good, and God had done so much on that operating table, she was becoming very restless, which all the doctors and specialists said, this is a very good sign. So I wanted to give you the most current update. So I talked to her last night and asked her permission to share with the church all of why, the full seriousness of why I asked you guys to pray. I'm the type of man who doesn't like reaching out to people and asking favors because there's so much that people have in their own lives and so many burdens and stuff. But I've learned to come to trust you guys. And so thank you for your prayers. Because as of last night, her energy levels are returning. She now has energy she hasn't had for 5 years. Her joint pain significantly reduced. And now she's walking the dogs. And now she doesn't need a rest. She's also said she doesn't need naps regularly. In fact, she doesn't need them at all. She gets up in the morning and goes to bed at night. God healed that thoroughly. She actually sent me a message that was just, I'll share it with you, but it was just between the two of us. She was okay with it. She lost her quality of life. She didn't know how much she had lost until she's starting to recover now. And it's been 6 weeks, okay? So in 6 weeks now, one of her greatest joys is she can go back to her grandchildren, but she can also go back to her crafts. Because with the joint pain, she couldn't do it. Her life is returning. Her quality of life is there. So all I can say is thank you for talking to God and praying, and that He healed her through your prayers. Please continue to pray. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And that's wonderful what God's done in Tracy's life. Let's continue to pray for her. Nick, are you here? Nick? Okay. Why don't we close with our final song, and then we'll have Tim lead us in prayer before we go.